Today's Bible teaching is about warnings. While some spiritual warnings are true and important to hear, other warnings are empty, false, and fabricated to the harm of others. Besides that, real, legitimate hazards are sometimes dangerously denied. Listen carefully to Brother Dan Corner of EvangelicalOutreach.org as he explains further.
There are two types of warnings, the true and the false, and there are multiple types of each, in which I'll get to shortly. In our perilous times, there even exist people who deny true dangers and oppose their associated warnings. This makes it even harder for the righteous to try to keep themselves pure. The Bible is filled with wonderful promises, God's commands, and His commands are not burdensome, and various warnings. Remember this about a legitimate warning. That is, a legitimate warning shows or implies a real danger. Since we are living in the last days with many dangers, we better all take very seriously every single Bible warning, or we will definitely pay a dear price for negligence. In our day of positive thinking, warnings are usually viewed as negative, but the truth is, warnings are really a manifestation of love and concern. Two such warnings of that type come to mind, and they came from my wife to me. One was about ice on a cold wintry day so that I wouldn't slip, and another one was about wasps flying about me so that I wouldn't be stung. My wife warned me of real dangers because she loves me. Jesus himself gave many warnings, proving that warnings of dangers are important to know. Bible warnings are the most important warnings because they are spiritual warnings, which imply a much greater danger than any danger in the natural. And these warnings in the Bible are given to benefit and alert people of such dangers, just like warnings in the natural of an approaching hurricane, snowstorm, flood, tornado, etc. All warnings in the Bible are real and must be taken very seriously and acted upon appropriately, or you will definitely endanger yourself. While true warnings certainly exist, there is also, believe it or not, many empty and false warnings of doom, which have come over the centuries, which have proven to be frauds. And this is especially the case in our generation. These false warnings have caused needless anxiety and even destroyed precious souls. Pseudo warnings are not based on reality, though they are supposed to be and even mentioned by sincere people. Consider the many false predictions about the end times we have heard. Various people have claimed that their predictions came from Scripture and God, but they really didn't. Jesus warned of false prophets deceiving people, and that type of deception has been occurring a very long time. We must be aware of empty warnings like those. For example, pre-trib rapture teachers who have cited specific dates have adversely affected multiple millions of people by their false predictions. One came from five-point Calvinist Harold Camping, who died in 2013. He actually stated there would be no more salvations for anyone after May the 21st, 2011, and then added on October the 21st, 2011, the earth would be totally annihilated out of existence. Listen for yourself to Harold Camping state these false warnings.
The program is, and we know what it is, God has revealed His timeline to us on May 21 of 2011. That's the first day of the Day of Judgment, and it is also the last day of salvation anywhere on the planet Earth, because all of the true believers will be caught up to be with Him. And then the Day of Judgment will extend itself for 5 months. We learn that from Revelation chapter 9. Well, this birth has to come to an end. And that 5 months period is the period of the final wrath of God on this earth. And on October 21, 2011, it will never exist again. It will be totally annihilated.
The result of Harold Camping's false predictions not only included embarrassment, but people's life savings were wasted, while others murdered their own children, and even some committed suicide, believe it or not. That is what false warnings can do. And by the way, you can read a lot more specifics about Harold Camping on our website, evangelicaloutreach.org, if you're interested. Unfortunately, Harold Camping wasn't alone with his false predictions of doom. In 1988, various pre-trib rapture teachers were giving false warnings about the rapture occurring. One was Edgar Wisnett, a NASA engineer who died in 2001. He taught September 11th, 12th, or 13th in 1988 would be the rapture. Listen to what they were broadcasting over the radio about that at that particular point.
1988 is the rapture of the church. This is what the prophets have been talking about for the last 3,400 years. There will be three raptures, three judgments, three nuclear world wars, and 5.7 billion people will either die or be raptured within the next 7 years. But you, brethren, talking to the faithful, are not in darkness that this day the rapture should take you by surprise. And we're to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's right, the rapture will not be a surprise to the faithful. All the end time events are now known, and the dates have been assigned except for the day and hour of your rapture. Join Edgar Wisnett as he reveals startling truths of God's prophetic timetable and what, according to the Word of God, is about to transpire on this planet. And now, here are God's watchmen on the wall.
Welcome back. Good to have you with us again, and we are continuing our discussions with Edgar Wisnett, the author of the book 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Occur This Year. That's this September 11th, 12th, or 13th during the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. That's a Jewish Feast of Trumpets. And praise God, we're going home to meet Jesus this September.
Again, great harm was caused to the unwary and gullible people who just believed what they were taught without really carefully testing everything. Long before Harold Camping and others like him, the Jehovah's Witnesses have been making their relentless false warnings of Armageddon and destruction for well over 100 years. They predicted the end of the world in 1914, 1918, 1925, 1931, 1941, 1975, etc. Again, many lives were hurt and souls destroyed by the false teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses with their false gospel and false warnings. Now, let's do a 180 switch from false warnings to the real and legitimate warnings mentioned in the Bible. There were past true warnings which definitely proved real dangers connected with them. For example, the very first time God ever spoke to mankind was in the form of a warning. It's Genesis 2:17. It says, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Spiritual death followed their disobedience just as God had warned. But God also gave another warning, a very true warning, obviously, about the great flood, and that went to Noah. We actually read about that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Obviously, both were true warnings because real dangers existed, and that is why the warnings were given beforehand. Jesus repeatedly warned others about various spiritual dangers, especially the greatest danger of all, hell. Why? Because such a danger really does exist. The Lord Jesus gave hell warnings not only to those who were never saved, but also to those who were saved. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. Jesus even gave hell warnings of real danger to those who had already been saved. Now let me prove that to you. Here's one in Matthew 5, verse 22. Jesus gave a hell warning to both Christians and non-Christians when he said this, "But anyone who says you fool will be in the danger of the fire of hell." That's Matthew 5:22. Anyone is anyone. Saved or unsaved, anybody that says that in anger is actually in jeopardy of going to hell. Unforgiveness definitely is another such warning that Jesus gave repeatedly to the Christians. And in Matthew 6:15, we have a prime example. And we know that that warning in Matthew 6:15 about unforgiveness was actually spoken to the disciples based on Matthew 5, verse 1. But here's the verse. "But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Just the text itself proves that this is a warning to those that have been redeemed, because it says your father will not forgive your sins. The spiritual father of the lost is the devil, while the spiritual father of the redeemed is God Almighty. He gave another such warning in Matthew 18:33-35. This time it was spoken directly to Peter, according to Matthew 18:21. And here's the actual quote. This is another warning from Jesus to those that had been saved about unforgiveness. That's the lethal danger of unforgiveness. It says, should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all we owed. This is how my father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Again, this is a warning about the dangers of hell, and this is over the issue of unforgiveness towards another person who has sinned against you. Please know this, one of the most subtle temptations of the devil is the temptation to be an unforgiveness. Then we read in Matthew 18:8-9, if your hand or your foot cause you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Jesus again spoke that to his disciples according to Matthew 18:1. And that was a warning about sins that lead to spiritual death. Folks, think. Because Jesus directed these hell warnings to those who had already been saved, that clearly implies that once saved, always saved is a false teaching. Because once saved, always saved doctrine denies that a person once saved could ever go to hell over any sin he may ever commit after getting born again. But that is far from all. There is even more hell warnings than the ones I just shared with you. Consider the one in John 15:5-6. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. That also was spoken to Jesus' disciples according to John 14:22. So remaining in Jesus does not always occur. When we get in Revelation 3:16, Jesus said, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. So that was also spoken to the disciples. And obviously, if you get spit out of the mouth of Jesus or vomited out of the body of Christ, you're no longer in the body of Christ. And hence, you will no longer be remaining in Jesus. There's another one in Matthew 10:33. Jesus said, whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And that also proves that if Jesus disowns you, there is no more salvation for such a person who was previously owned by Jesus. And again, that was spoken to Jesus' disciples according to Matthew 10:1-5. But again, that is far from all the hell warnings that Jesus gave. In Revelation 2:4-5, Jesus said, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Jesus taught, remember, repent, and return. Jesus and God must be your first love, and they must remain your first love. Just like we read of the warning of spiritual death in Genesis 2:17 issued by God himself to Adam, we read of a similar possibility in Luke 8:13. Jesus teaching about what we call the parable of the sower, Jesus said, they believe for a while, in time of testing they fall away. So this type of person did believe, they believed for a while, but then they stopped believing. So the same one that gave us John 3:16 also gave us Luke 8:13, which shows that just because a person comes to saving faith doesn't mean they're going to continue to believe. Because according to this, Luke 8:13, it is possible to stop believing. But there's even more. Here's a hell warning. That is a true warning of hell for backsliders who don't repent. Jesus said, Luke 12:45-46, but suppose a servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat his men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. So where are the unbelievers going? Revelation 21:8 says they're going to the lake of fire, and that's where these people will go. And that was written to people that did not do these things perpetually. They just began to do this when they realized it was a late coming. Maybe because they thought, well, he should have been here in 1988 or in 2011. Then they begin, unfortunately, to get drunk and do wicked, angry things. Jesus said in Revelation 3:11, hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. So folks, if you don't hold on to it, someone's going to take your crown. Did you hear that? It's your responsibility to hold on to it. And because of the danger of hell, we read of something else, a teaching in Matthew chapter 25 called the 10 virgins. In Matthew 25, 12 and 13, we read this. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Jesus had known the five foolish virgins before his return as they previously had a lamp burning and were at one time ready to meet the bridegroom. But Jesus returned late, much later than expected, and the five foolish ones were not ready when he did come. Jesus taught a late coming with 50% no longer being ready to meet the bridegroom, with him not knowing them anymore. So positively, no question, there is no eternal security or once saved, always saved. And elsewhere, Jesus taught Luke 12:35, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Folks, it's your responsibility to keep your own lamp burning before God. It is not God's responsibility. If it was God's responsibility, nobody's lamp would ever go out. It is man's responsibility, and that's where the devil will try to take us out through false doctrine, discouragement, sin, or something else. You must keep your lamp burning. And because of the danger of hell, we read this. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. That's Luke chapter 13, 23 and 24. Most professing Christians are making no effort to enter the narrow door because of the way grace has been distorted. Imagine that. And Jesus said, make every effort, and a continuous effort at that. Similarly, in Hebrews 12 verse 14, the Bible says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So again, this is a very important safeguard. This is what we're to do. We're to be putting forth this type of effort. And how many church people are actually doing this that profess to be Christian? Almost zero. The devil has done a very, very good job deceiving people.
A valid warning is the result of a real existing danger. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ gave warnings to others, it was because an authentic danger did exist, and that even included his hell warnings to real Christians. Let's return to Brother Dan.
And because of the danger of hell, Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We find out elsewhere that greed is another name for idolatry, and idolaters will go to the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8, unless they repent of that and get forgiven. Paul also gave hell warnings to real Christians. Galatians 5:19 through 21, the Apostle Paul said, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul gave this repeated warning to Christians, which once saved, always saved teachers will never give even one time. Why? Because the once saved, always saved teachers got a false and dangerous doctrine. But that's not the only time the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5:19 through 21 taught that kind of truth. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 8, he said, the one who sows to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction, and the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And in Romans 8:13, the Apostle Paul said, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That is three passages all dealing with the same type of sin and the same spiritual danger. That is the danger of spiritual death for the righteous. The sin is acts of the sinful nature, and the danger is always the same, but they're described as will die, Romans 8:13, will reap destruction, Galatians 6:8, and will not inherit the kingdom of God, according to Galatians 5 verse 21. That's how we know where it says will die in Romans 8:13 is actually referring to spiritual death and nothing less. But religious deception in general from false teachers and satanic visions was mentioned by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. So Satan has servants just like God has servants. Satan's servants appear on the surface to be serving Christ, but really they are deceivers just like the devil himself, who can come in the form of an apparition and in the form as an angel from God. But unbelief for people that had previously been born again is also a real possible danger. Listen to this. This is Romans 11, 20 through 22. Granted, they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Here's one directly connected with the gospel itself. The Apostle Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians 15:2. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Folks, have you ever heard that before? Have you ever heard that warning before? This is part of the real gospel, and this has been wickedly concealed by many of the preachers on radio in our day. The real gospel teaches a conditional security for the believer, and one in which he is responsible under grace to hold on for himself to that real gospel, and such actually being part of the gospel itself. It is possible to believe in vain, according to what Paul taught. Then the Apostle Paul taught people who were saved by grace and sealed by the Holy Spirit that they would not inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God in Ephesians 5, 5 through 7 because of certain sins unto death. Listen to this hell warning to the saved from the Apostle Paul. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. But that's not all. The Apostle Paul also taught holding on to faith and a good conscience. Who did he speak this warning to? None other than Timothy. Timothy was certainly saved when he wrote this. Listen to this. This is 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So the same horrible thing the Apostle Paul saw that happened to Hymenaeus and Alexander, he knew could happen to Timothy, who had a real, genuine, saving faith. Consequently, he was told to hold on to faith and a good conscience. Notice that about a good conscience. Paul personally said this about himself regarding a clear conscience. And I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Acts 24:15 and 16. Paul taught Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. In 1 Timothy 4:16. And in 1 Corinthians 16:13, the Apostle Paul wrote, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. 1 Timothy 5:22, do not share in the sins of others, keep yourself pure. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Paul personally took hell warnings to heart, and he guarded his own self. He said, I beat my body and make it a slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He's not talking about his rewards. He said, I myself. That's 1 Corinthians 9:27. The Apostle John also gave hell warnings to real Christians. Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and of the holy city, which are described in this book. Notice it says God will take away from him. Once saved, always saved teachers say that once God gives you something, he won't ever take it back. But that's not what the Bible says. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, it says potentially God will take it back. And if your share in the holy city is taken away from you, do you know where you're going? Let me read it to you. Revelation 22, 14 and 15. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside, that's outside the holy city, are the dogs, those that practice the magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murders, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So you're either in the holy city or outside the holy city with these other people, and these other people are going to the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8. So that means you'll either be in the lake of fire or in the holy city. Now let's reverse our direction again. We're going to go back to false warnings once again, and this time to try to help out Catholics. In various places, Catholic saints have taught Mary, the mother of Jesus, is vital to salvation. And that type of teaching has been shockingly accepted and encouraged in Roman Catholicism. Here is a quote, in fact, really two quotes, from a Catholic saint called Bonaventure of the 13th century. Listen to this, folks. This is from a Catholic saint. This is not in the Bible, but this is what Catholic saints have taught. Quote, "He who neglects the service of the Virgin Mary will die in his sins," unquote. The reason I cited that is so that you'll be aware of this false warning that we are to be devout to Mary if you want salvation, and not to neglect Mary. Imagine that. That is explicitly clear in Catholicism, yet idolatrous, as again, Mary is exalted as a must for salvation. The same Catholic saint went on and said this, quote, "He who does not invoke thee, O Lady, will never get to heaven," unquote. Both of these quotes are from the book, The Glories of Mary, by a different Catholic saint, St. Alphonsus de Liguori. The book was printed in 1931 on pages 221 and 222. Alphonsus Liguori is not only a Catholic saint, but one of the elite 33 doctors of the Roman Catholic Church, and he has spread this horrendous message, including idolatry, about the mythical Mary of Catholicism to God only knows how many millions over the centuries. Folks, people need to be warned that that kind of warning is a false warning. It is not true. In fact, it's not only a false warning, it's a message that if you act on that type of message, you will end up in the lake of fire over the sin of idolatry. In 1917 at Fatima, Portugal, a major Marian apparition occurred in a Catholic church. In July of that year, the personage claiming to be Mary stated something that you're going to hear this Catholic priest speak about. Listen to what this Catholic priest states about what he thinks was spoken by Mary.
"We looked up at Our Lady, who said to us so kindly and yet so sadly, 'You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. To save souls, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.'"
Imagine that, folks! World devotion to Mary is an idolatrous false gospel and one that the devil wants you to believe. Yet the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church doesn't have the ability to recognize it and consequently has jeopardized the 1.3 billion Catholics under their sway. Warnings in the Bible were given to help. They're given to help the people they were given to, but they're also given to spare the warning givers of various spiritual adverse effects if they would avoid from speaking out those unpleasant warnings. It is a definite advantage to be warned. Conversely, it is a definite disadvantage not to be warned. And that's exactly what certain teachers do because of their perversions about grace, God's keeping power, etc. Listen to what John Piper said.
"A born-again person cannot become dead."
Folks, don't be deceived. Turning to sin will bring the righteous to their spiritual death according to New Testament grace. That's Romans 8:13, Galatians 5:19 through 21, Galatians 6:8 and 9, James 1:14 through 16, James 5:19 through 20, etc.
If you have been helped by our teachings or want a free ministry packet of various gospel tracts and two stirring CDs, please contact us at Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. God bless you.